We've just sung about drawing nigh to God. We've done that in prayer. We've done that through the reading of His law. And now we come to the very heart of the worship service, where we draw nigh to Him in His word and in the sacrament. This morning, that word comes from Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. We will begin reading in the first chapter, but the text is verse 3 of the second chapter. Song of Solomon, we'll begin reading at chapter 1 and verse 14. The book of Song of Solomon revolves around Solomon and the Shulamite woman. They both speak in the book. In verse 14, the Shulamite is speaking about Solomon. Song of Solomon 1, verse 14, "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." And now in verse 15, Solomon responds, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes." And then the Shulamite responds to Solomon, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir." And now Solomon responds again, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." And now the Shulamite responds to Solomon again and speaks through verse 7, which will be the end of our reading this morning. The Shulamite woman, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please." At that point, we read God's word. Our text this morning is verse 3 of Song of Solomon 2, the Shulamite speaking to Solomon, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Beloved of God, there are times in the life of a marriage where a spouse asks his or her spouse, "What was it when we got married that drew you to me?" And the two, sometimes, especially if the man is willing at that point, discuss their time of dating, courtship, and engagement, and think back on those days, the things that drew them to each other, Lord willing, chiefly the bond of faith, one in agreement of God's word. In this whole section of Song of Solomon that we read this morning, the Shulamite woman and Solomon, who are about to be married, are talking that way to each other. They're speaking about what it is about one another that has drawn them to each other. In the immediate context, Solomon has spoken of what he sees as the uniqueness of his bride-to-be in his eyes. Verse 2 of chapter 2, "As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughter." She is unique, like a lily, beautiful flower among thorns. I view all the rest of the women as thorns compared to her, the lily among the thorns. And then, in response to that, the Shulamite woman tells Solomon, her husband-to-be, what he thinks, what she thinks of him. That's our text. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. As you know, the betrothal and later marriage in the book of Solomon and the Shulamite woman is a picture to us of the relationship of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the church has absolutely nothing in herself to make her attractive or unique to the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of God's election of her in eternity and by virtue of the working of Christ by His Spirit in her, Lord Jesus Christ, when He looks upon His bride, the church, sees in her a uniqueness and tells her of her uniqueness, a uniqueness that she has gotten from Him. He speaks to her of that and His love for her. She is as a lily among the thorns, white and righteous in His sight. Sometimes He asks the church for a response. I see you, my bride, white, robed in my righteousness, as a lily among thorns. What is the stance of your heart towards me, your Savior, your husband, your bridegroom? You know, beloved, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a real person, right? You know that we're going to see Him face to face one day. You are individually going to see Him face to face one day. And though we have to be careful, of course, not to press the romantic language here too far, in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something of this love, real love. Have you ever thought about what you will say to Him when you see Him? What you would say to Him if He puts this question to you personally, maybe in glory? What is the stance of your heart towards me? What do you think of me? The answer that the Scriptures themselves put upon the lips of God's people is in our text. And first of all, it's that He's our beloved. He's our beloved. That's the term that the Shulamite woman uses to describe Him here and throughout the book. As the apple tree, so is my beloved. And in fact, this is one of the ways you can tell who's speaking. In the book of Song of Solomon, sometimes it's hard to tell. Is it Solomon or the Shulamite who's speaking? One of the ways you can tell is if the address beloved is used. It's always the woman addressing Solomon, the church addressing Christ. All throughout, she calls Him her beloved. My beloved. Is that what you say of Him? It's part of the bride, the church. He's beloved of me, for all of His greatness. And here's why, because as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so art thou among the sons of men, and therefore I sit under thy shadow and partake of thy fruit with great delight. Let's make that our confession as we come to this beloved one, Jesus Christ, in the supper of the Lord this morning. Take as our theme, Christ, my apple tree. Let's notice first the realization, what that means. Second, the rest, sitting in His shadow. And third, the right that we have to come to Him. Christ, my apple tree, the realization, the rest, and the right. To understand the point that the Shulamite is making about Solomon and the point that the Holy Spirit is making about Christ, picture yourself walking through a forest of trees. As you walk through that forest of trees, as is often the case, the trees are all the same. There's not really anything that stands out. You can't really tell where you are in the forest based on the trees because everywhere you turn and everywhere you look, the trees are all the same. But then as you picture this in your mind, walking through the forest, you come upon one tree that catches your eye. And it catches your eye because it's different from all the rest of the trees. It is unique. It stands out for its beauty. It stands out for its fragrance that it's putting off. It stands out for its shade that it is giving, and it stands out for the fruit that is upon it. There's only one of these trees in the whole forest. And here it is. All the other trees are all the same. This is the unique tree out of this forest. That's what the Shulamite woman is saying. As the apple tree among all the other trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. He is unique. Doesn't the church, the bride of Christ, gathered here this morning, say that about her Savior? Thou art unique, singular, among all the other sons of men. In six ways. First, the Lord Jesus Christ is unique among all the other sons of men for his person. He is God Himself in human flesh. There are other men who have walked upon this earth who are called great men, but none are like Him. How people have given themselves to their religious figures, to their Muhammads, to their Joseph Smiths, to their Buddhas, but they are all the same as all the other trees of the forest. They are not unique among the sons of men, but Him, He is the one of whom John speaks when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He is God Himself come down amongst us in His person. He is unique among the sons of men. He alone can reveal God to us as the one who is in His person, God Himself. He is unique among the sons of men. Second, because He is the sinless one. How human beings fawn over other men. How they look to their leaders, to a president, to a military leader, to religious figures, to pop figures, to be their guides, to be their, as it were, messiahs or their saviors in whom they place their trust. But these are all the same. They're no different from the other trees of the forest, no different from the other sons of men. They are sinners. Christ Himself is God Himself come to us as the sinless one in our flesh, the one who has never given one thought or one desire or motive or action contrary to the law of God, who's never failed to love His Father in every way, the one whom we may truly trust to be Savior, to be the one in whom we find peace and rest, whose righteousness will cover all of our sinful stains, who can impute a perfection that is not found anywhere among the sons of men in this earth. Perfect, sinless to our account. Third, this one is unique among all the other trees in His humility. Who has shown the humility that He has shown? The one who is those first two things, God Himself and perfectly sinless, yet has come into our sinful and wretched world, donned upon Himself our human flesh, walked amongst us as our servants, serving our salvation, despising the shame, He endures the cross. The one who is not robbing God by declaring Himself equal with God and yet takes upon Himself the form of a servant, comes in the likeness of men, humbles Himself to the death of the cross, friend of sinners, enters into the rebellion, stench of our world, to take us out of our wretched state. Fourth, this one is unique among the sons of men because He speaks the truth and only the truth, always and fully. how men fawn after other men whom they think are the purveyors of truth. How they put their trust in other men, politicians, philosophers, teachers, leaders, radio show hosts. But in the end, they're all the same. They're the same trees in the same forest. But this one alone speaks only and all in full truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He reveals truth that no one else can reveal. He shows us the Father, and it sufficeth us. No man hath seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And there's no wondering if he has gotten it wrong. There's no wondering if he's twisting some things, if he has an agenda, like everybody else has an agenda, if he's only telling us part of the story, but there's really this part over here. He reveals the fullness of the Godhead bodily and declares him fully to us. Fifth, he is unique among the sons of men for his power. All things were made by him. And when he was here upon the earth, all things that he made recognized him. Even the winds and the seas obeyed him. He takes the daughter of Jairus by the hand, and with one phrase, Talitha kumi, she arises from the dead as though she was never dead. Even the demons are subject to his name. Sin and Satan are under his control. How men fawn after their fellow men, thinking that they are powerful and want to bask in their shadow and rest in their favor. But they are nothing. Their power is limited. They're no different from the other trees in the forest. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. Sixth, he is unique among the sons of men for his love. To come to us and to enter into the depths of hell for our sin and shame, and to bear that cross for us who are so filthy and undeserving, to suffer himself to be beaten and bruised and mocked and scorned and spit upon, and yet bear it in humility and love for his Father and for us, and to say in the midst of it that yet for the joy that is set before me, the joy of my people redeemed, I love them, and I will endure the cross, and I'll despise the shame, I'll think nothing of it. There are men who follow fellow men for their overflowing love, but all of their love is at the heart love for self in some way or another. Except in him, what love is there like this to be found among the other sons of men? He is unique among the trees of the forest. He stands out among the other sons of Adam. He's in the forest. He came after our father Adam still, in the same forest as all the other sons of men, but yet so different, so unique from them. God has sent him to be this unique one to us, and he has given us the grace to see him stand out among all the other trees for his beauty and majesty, that we might know him, see him as that apple tree. In vision to his saints, God spake from out the people, from out the race of men. One I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. After the wedding is over, what does it take? A year, 2 years of marriage. The bride comes back down to earth a little bit, sees all the flaws in her bridegroom. He isn't as unique among the sons of men as I thought when I married him. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, after 2,000 years of the church being married to him, no flaw has been discovered. No disappointment. The first discovery holds true. After years and years of walking with him, he is what he says And he's never anything different, and his glory and uniqueness is never diminished. And all of his singular qualities come together to make him beautiful, majestic, lovely, sweet, delightfully fragrant to the church. The Hebrew word for apple tree here comes from a word meaning to give off a pleasing aroma. Christ the apple tree does that to his bride in his uniqueness. He is attractive to his church by the grace placed in their heart. The sum total of all that he is delights us. That's why we keep studying him. This is why we keep going through that section of the Heidelberg Catechism on God the Son. That he might ever stand out as the unique one among the sons of men in whom the church takes their delight, knowing this about him, this angle more fully, that angle more fully, so that it lights upon our minds, my Christ is the apple tree among the trees of the forest. Faith says that, faith knows that, and faith grows in that, and it is vital that faith does so. And faith must say that here this morning. As the believing child of God comes to the table of the Lord, comes to him, there's nothing disappointing about thee, about the one whom I come to sup with this morning. Thou art faithful, thou art all fair, thou art glorious and true and majestic, and I've known it and I'm knowing it more and more all these years of walking with thee. But this Christ known, confessed and seen must be also embraced. As the apple tree among the trees of the forest, the unique one, I sit down under his shadow and I eat of his fruits with great delight. Not only do I see him as unique, but I come and partake of him and rest in him, the unique one. Something every wife ought to be able to say about her husband, by the way. Under his shade, under the shadow of his headship as my husband, a headship that is built upon the word, a headship that is infused with love so that I know it. Under that headship I find cool rest, peace, protection, safety. But even if you can't, you can say it of him. The church can always say it of him. Like the apple tree, the Lord Christ casts a shadow and under it I find shade and fruit to delight. Children, you know how a shadow is made, right? Something sticks up off the earth, upright. And because it sticks upright, it takes the heat of the sun into itself. It sets itself between the rays of the sun and the person who's on the other side below, so that the rays of the sun are held back because they're taken into that one that's standing upright, and the other one in the other side and in the shadow doesn't feel those rays of the sun, sits in the shade of that object. The rays of the just wrath of Jehovah God for our sins are upon us as sinners walking upon the earth. And there is no blocking it in ourselves. Under his wrath we pine and die. But Christ, the apple tree, lifts his arms as his branches, as it were, upon the cross, and he takes into himself all of the heat of the rays of the just wrath of God for our sins, deep into his body and his soul, so that the cool shadow of his love and the love of Father's refreshing grace may fall upon his people who safely rest in the shadow that he casts. There is in that shadow safety, security, from that eternal, just, destroying wrath. There is peace, there is hope, there is refreshment there. So that everything is grace to me and love to me and nothing is wrath to me. So that those trials come and struggles are deep and hard. In the shadow that he himself casts as the apple tree, we know that even those troubles and difficulties are not the heat of God's wrath for us. That's gone. And there is a peace and warmth, coolness rather, in that shade that he provides. So why don't you come sit? And rest under this apple tree. Come, bask in his shade. To sit is an activity of faith. A faith that's given by God sovereignly, of course, and without which gift we have no activity, but given as a gift, that activity expresses itself. Sit. Actively, I come in faith and sit in the shade of this Christ. I come to the table of the Lord to rest in Him, to find peace and coolness in His accomplished work, in His cross that shields me from the otherwise just wrath of God that would fall upon me for my sins and the sins that I discover in myself in this week of self-examination to sit. Beloved, is to see him as this unique one, as this apple tree among the sons of men, to know by faith that only he can provide this shelter. But then it's this too, it's not simply to see that objectively, but it's also to come and to sit under him, to rest in that truth, to embrace that by faith, to sit down under it, as practically as I can make it. It's to say, as we go through this process of taking the Lord's Supper in your own personal prayer, in your own mind, something like this: Thou art the unique one among men, Lord Christ. I see it and I know it and I believe it by faith. Provide me the shade from the wrath of God for my sins that thou alone canst provide. My sins are great. I have discovered them in a week of self-examination, and I hate them, and I bring them to thee to be taken away. I'm weary. I'm weary from the heat, the rays of guilt that I feel heavy upon me. Grant me refreshment, coolness in your shadow. Assure me that wrath is taken away, that in my place, condemned, he stood, and that it does not fall upon me any longer. What do you think? Do you think you're going to find that shade anywhere else? You think you can come this morning and provide that shade for yourself? That you can somehow stand up and take into yourself the wrath of God for your sins, or you can provide a righteousness for yourself that will be great enough to provide a shadow that you may sit in, that you can bring before God your acts of devotion, your acts of love, the fact that you're here in church today, and say, God, here, this will stand up, it will be burned. He alone is the apple tree among the trees of the forest. He alone is unique among the sons of men. He alone is the sinless one and the sin bearer. Come to him by faith this morning and sit. Here is my black sin, Lord Jesus Christ. I know that thy blood can overshadow it. Here is my unworthiness. Cast the shadow of thy worth over me. And at the same time, pluck the fruit, that you might have strength. I sat under his shadow with great delight. And I ate of his fruit, and it was sweet to my taste. There's not only negatively here the shade, the shadow from the hot sun, but there's also positively the fruit, the nourishment, the strength-giving life from him. All the strength that he promises to his people, the strength of his own life imparted to them that they might be able to press on by his grace. Given for you here, hungry and thirsty soul, here is his fruit, come and eat. You see here in the text then the twofold benefit of the gospel as it's signified in the Lord's Supper. The shade from God's wrath is justification, isn't it? And then on the other hand, the fruit that we eat is the strength he provides for sanctification, for the living of the Christian life. Don't you need both? What do you need spiritual strength for today? What calling does he set before you that is difficult for you and is leaving you empty, weary, and worn? Father, husband, your calling, care for your family. And oh, this again, and oh, that again. And here's strength. Here's strength. Here's the fruit. Mother, in your calling in the home, when you read Psalm 23 and hear about your cup running over, does your thought not first of all go to the cup of all the blessings that come to me that's overflowing, but do you think about the cup, the little child pouring the juice into it till it overflows and here mom has to clean up the mess? Here's your strength. Come with real faith and you will receive it. What difficulty, office bearer, in your work? I need strength, spiritual strength for the task that I may care for the flock as I am called and not sit on the edge. Actively engage the church and care for her. What strength do you need, child of God, for the fight against sin, the very sins that brought you here needing the shade? Pluck the fruit by faith. Union with him. Be strengthened. Be refreshed. You have the right. You have the right to come and to sit and to eat. You may say without the tiniest bit of doubt, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. What a thing for the Shulamite woman to say. Solomon, the great king. He's mine, he's my beloved, my husband. What a feeling a young bride has when she gets married to say that about the man that she is marrying. This man is mine, my beloved. A thousandfold more, what a thing for the church to say about this unique one, about Jesus Christ, the apple tree among the trees of the forest. He's mine by his grace. He's mine by virtue of the grace of eternal election. He's mine by virtue of his work upon the cross. He's mine by virtue of the Spirit working a union between me and him in my life. He's yours, Church of Christ. He's yours. You have the right to come and to sit and to eat. Turn nowhere else. And come. For as the apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is your beloved among the sons of men. Amen.